T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Okay, if we're giving random shout-outs to Chicago radio shows, Parkins and Spiegel, obviously the best.
Afternoons on the Score.
Thank you for hanging out with us, Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. And we are thrilled to be joined by our next guest. Usually says yes when we ask him to come on and put up with our shenanigans, which is amazing given his credentials. 85 Bear legend, the Tribune ranked him as the 39th greatest Bear of all time. A Yale graduate, Gary Fensick, back with us on the Score. Gary, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Sure, no problem. Doing well.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving? You enjoy that Bears-Lions game?
Ate a lot like everybody else, and I guess good news is the Bears won that game. It wasn't the most exciting game. I'm sure that the networks must go, God, do we have to have the Detroit Lions every year?
Yeah, that they're ready for that tradition to end.
Yeah, tradition probably does need to end. What are your memories of playing on Thanksgiving, Gary?
Just how quickly you get home, and my parents were out in Barrington. They go, God, it's so hard to believe. I mean, just a couple of hours ago, we were watching you at the Silverdome. Now you're here. But, the overtime game where we took the opening or the kickoff in overtime and that was the end of the game. That was probably one of the better ones, but probably some bad games too. They seem to have some young rookie quarterbacks that always did well against us. So
yeah, that Dave Williams game winning kickoff return is some legendary stuff.
Gary,
the other thing is I remember that game, though, that afterwards Hampton was in the end zone and he hadn't buckled his chin strap. And so I think he broke his nose in the celebration in the end zone when Davey did it. So I was like, wow, collateral damage.
Sounds about right. Sounds like Hamp. It's been weird, Gary. Like we're covering it every day, every mutation of the story, following it all on social media. What's it been like for you, say, the last 2 weeks to follow all of the noise and drama around the Bears?
Clearly there's they don't have people who should be speaking to the press and clarifying and giving a vision of what they're going to do. And I think the story of last week was kind of weird, right? I mean, I didn't know who that reporter was, but got a lot of credibility. And then, instead of having Pace or George Halas immediately just step forward and say, this is not the correct information, people kind of came to their own decisions and own judgments. And, it's unfortunate and it's a short week and it's distracting.
Felt like they left Matt Nagy out to dry a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit. And I'm sure they weren't trying to do it. But I think in today's world, and you have all this social media and everything, whether you like it or not, the head coach is, the brand of your team. And so I think, Matt Nagy is a pretty straight up guy and probably talks a little bit too much at times. But you have, the owner of the team and George, and I think more importantly, the GM of the team who become invisible. And I think that's very challenging in today's world.
Yeah, it is a tough ask for Matt Nagy, just because I don't feel like he's got, a deep well of different ways that he can, you know, describe things. He's just, you know, that's it takes a lot. And when you have to talk as much as you do as an NFL head coach, I completely agree that people need to hear more from Ryan Pace. Why do you think that is? Why do you think Ryan it makes himself available so little?
I have no idea. And I don't think it's a positive. But I think that right now, if you're the Bears organization, and clearly, hey, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm an ex-Bear. I want the Bears to go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, people, when we first got out the first 10 years, people say, well, you probably don't want another team to win the Super Bowl, do you? I go, hey, we've already been there. And, if they had won when Urlacher and those guys in 06, I went down to that Super Bowl game. Would have been great for them to, you know, replace the 85 team. And, but now it's like 35 years later. You're like, hey, I'd really like to see a good team. How about just winning a playoff game? That would be a real goal. So,
wow. Yes.
Hey, let's see what's going to happen. But I think we're kind of on this, okay, we know what's going to happen here. I mean, the team is not going to go to the playoffs. They have a pretty tough schedule here, even the next month, you know, starting with Arizona. Then you got to go to Green Bay. You got to play the Vikings twice. I guess Seattle's not the team that I thought they might be, but, you know, this is not going to be a 500 year. And the Bears now, again, aren't going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to probably make changes. And so I think what you hope they do is really take a step back and say, you know, maybe what we've been doing for the last 10 years plus under George McCaskey, maybe in order to be consistent as a winner and get to and win the Super Bowl, which was the first thing that Mike Ditka ever told us. We met him the first time as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, not just to get to the Super Bowl, but to win it. And you know what? Of the guys that listened to that first speech, and then we finally 4 or 5 years got to the Super Bowl, there was a 2/3 of the team that heard the speech were not in that locker room down in New Orleans. So I think that, you know, you got to look and say, are we structured the right way? Are we doing, you know, what are we doing? And maybe have someone from the outside looking in say, maybe you have to do something different structurally and the way, you know, the Bears have been organized in order to meet today's challenges in the NFL.
Gary Fensick is our guest. Do you want the job?
That's not my job. No, that's not going to be me. It's going to be somebody else, but it needs to be someone that, you know, I think not only can communicate that internally and create the right structure, but also communicate with the fans. You're selling a brand. And so I think you need to take a look. I mean, there are a number of teams that have different structures than the Chicago Bears. You know, just to put this in historical perspective, think about it. George Halas was the head coach, owner, general manager for decades, and he was the first person to bring in an outsider as general manager when I was playing, and that was with Jim Finks.
Well, and Jim Finks is the last guy to exist overseeing things above a GM level. They haven't had anybody since 1983, Gary. So the role you're talking about, to be clear, you're talking about a president of football operations to be parallel with Ted Phillips as president of business operations, something like that?
I would think that you need to have someone. I'm not really sure, but I do think that, you know, Ted, and I believe Ted and I believe George, that they delegate that football responsibility to the general manager. I'm just not sure. But you're still picking the general manager. So you can't say that your fingerprints aren't on that decision. But I think they need to look and just say, hey, there's a lot of things going on. The Bears are worth a lot more money. There's a lot more operational. What if they do the project in Arlington? That's going to take a lot of time and effort. It's just, okay, there are a lot of things going on, and the game of football in the NFL has changed significantly than when you just had a GM and he hired the head coach and all of that. If I look at the 85 picture, and I did it a few months ago, and I looked, I think we had like 8 or 9 coaches. I think there are over 20 coaches on the Chicago Bears staff right now. There's a safety coach and there's a cornerback coach. We had one one secondary coach. Buddy was the defensive coordinator and basically the linebacker coach. And then we had Dale Hopp as the defensive line coach. We had three coaches. So things have changed. And I think it's just a great opportunity, really, for the McCaskey family to take a look and say, hey, you know, we have the resources. We want to win. I don't doubt that at all. How do we maybe restructure things to become a more consistent, predictable winner? Because we haven't won much in the last – well, we've had two winning records in the last 11 years. How do we get to be a different team than we have been for the last 10 years?
Gary, I know you maybe thought I was joking when I asked you if you wanted the job, but I'm not talking about president of football operations, going to the scouting combine, grinding tape on the guard in the fifth round. But we mentioned the Lions earlier in the show. There are many teams that have someone in this role, but I'll just use them as an example. Chris Spielman was hired for a front office role. His title, special assistant to president, CEO, and chairperson. His description on the Lions website: played an integral role in the hiring of the executive vice president and general manager Brad Holmes and the head coach Dan Campbell, and reports directly to the president and CEO Rod Wood. That seems to me, because the McCaskeys, they're not necessarily, I know they've owned it for a long time, but they're, by their own admission, not football people. Ted, not a football person, but having someone who is a football person who can help them grade their football people, you know, grade Matt, grade Ryan, et cetera, et cetera. Is that a role that, A, you find valuable, and B, that you might be interested in?
Well, I'm not sure the word grade is right. You know, I mean, I think you're really trying to make sure that you have, you know, people in positions that they're really qualified to do, and that you're, you know, setting the goals. I mean, I look and, you know, I know Mark Murphy from the Packers, that they're organized in a different way. I mean, I was shocked when they fired a couple of years ago McCarthy, and I was like, you know, you read in the papers, like, well, no, that decision wasn't made by the GM. It was made by the president, which Mark Murphy is. So I think that the Bears have a lot of alumni who would be more than happy to give them really valuable feedback. But I think at the end of the day, it really is, you know, Ted's responsibility and George's. There's no question. I mean, I know that what bothered me last week was that I don't think anyone really believes that George McCaskey would call the head coach and say, I want you to play Fields. It's just anyone who knows the McCaskey family, that's just not the way they operate. And so and they're not going to do it in a panic mode either. So I think that they could certainly listen, do a listening tour and listen to a lot of ex-players who would really like to help them out. But at the end of the day, I think it really is kind of putting in that structure. And, you know, so I'm not lobbying for anything. But I do think that this is a great opportunity for them right now to start prepping, saying, look, we're probably going to have to make some tough decisions here in the next month. And let's really take a hard look at ourselves and be transparent and open and honest about it. That if we look out for the next 5 or 10 years at the challenges that we as an organization are going to make, and I'm going to include the fact that they may build a new stadium, which is going to take a tremendous amount of effort for them, what do we have to do? What can we do by looking at other organizations and seeing whether or not a different structure might work and lead to different records than we've had for the last decade?
Gary, how would you feel if some of that restructuring involved Ryan Pace staying as their football people and move?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Being upstairs and being a football boss of sorts, hiring a GM perhaps from within. We've heard some names on that, or hiring a different GM. Maybe you also bring in a former player in the Chris Spielman-esque role that Danny was talking about. But Ryan Pace sticking around, is there value in having the continuity of a move like that?
I don't know Ryan Pace, so I don't really have a strong opinion on that. I think you really kind of focus on, if you're the owner of a team, if you're the president of a company right now, I don't care if you're small or large, don't you have the key people report up to you? Because they're the key people. And I'm not sure that the old way in the NFL where the head coach reports up to a GM who then reports up to the owner or president of an organization, I'm not sure that that works. And I know that there are a number of other NFL teams that have a different structure, but to me, it's just an opportunity. Hey, we know that the record isn't what anybody wants it to be. I don't think it's going to be getting any better, unfortunately. And so at the end of the season, decisions are going to be made. And whether it includes Ryan Pace, who I don't know, and it includes part or all or none of the coaching staff, I mean, those are going to be tough decisions that have to be made. And as we all know, then there's going to be a microscope on scope on, okay, who are you going to bring in new? And, you know, I read the Tribune and they're saying, oh, Chicago's viewed as a very attractive place to be. I grew up here. I hope it is. But, you know, you look, we don't have a first round pick. We don't have a fourth round pick. Probably got some salary cap issues. And, you know, is it? I don't know.
Do you believe in Justin Fields?
I would like to think it's always going to be one of the key franchises in the NFL. But, you know, I'm kind of biased because I'm an ex-Bear and I'm a season ticket holder.
and we all want that to be the case. I've said for a long time, you know, the key to the attractiveness of the job will be whether or not the league believes that Justin Fields is a future star at quarterback. What do you think of him?
We don't know yet, right? I mean, take a look at if you look at the papers 4 or 5 years ago, a lot of the adjectives that are describing Fields probably were the same ones we were using for Trubisky. And so we're all hoping, but we don't know. He's still a young guy, and he certainly shows flashes of being really exciting. But, you know, this is the toughest position in the NFL. It's trying to project who is going to make it and who isn't. In the quarterback position. And if you're right, you get lucky like the Green Bay Packers have been for the last quarter of a century. And if you're not lucky, you're the Bears.
You getting that personal seat license when it's offered to you for Arlington Heights in about 4.5 years or so, Gary?
I would say that would be a very, very high likelihood.
Do you like the idea of Arlington Heights?
No, I live in Lincoln Park. I don't want to go to Arlington Heights, but I'll tell you what, it's not easy getting to Soldier Field on game day, at least from the north side. Right. And, hey, I understand why, you know, for me, one really attractive thing for the Bears, and I hope for the fans as well, is that if you go to Lambeau Field or I go down to the University of Notre Dame for a football game, when you go in there, there's a real pride. Those stadiums are clean, really clean. And when you come in, the ushers are saying, welcome to Lambeau or welcome to the University of Notre Dame. And it's just a very different feeling when, you know, you're dealing with the Park District. And so you don't have that pride of, you know, this is the experience that, you know, you own in a franchise. You want everything to be right, everything. And I just don't think that, you know, right now, not being able to make all the decisions on who works on game day and everything else for the Bears, it's got to be very frustrating.
Yep, and I think they could really do some amazing things in Arlington Heights, a Bears Hall of Fame. We've kicked around the idea of a hotel, and you could stay, honey, I booked us the Ditka Suite. You know, I think you'll really enjoy the Butkus Ballroom.
I don't know if I'd want to be the
Ditka
Suite.
Okay.
When you come in there screaming and yelling.
Yeah, and each room has a mini The Fridge. And a Doug Buffone buffet, things of
well,
that
the
nature.
The bar downstairs would certainly be a lot of fun, that's for sure.
It would. You know, you mentioned any business, right? You've had success in businesses and investment. I know people would pay for top dollar for this type of advice, but like, this is maybe too broad of a question, Gary Fensick, but like broadly, traits or attributes of successfully run businesses in Gary Fensick's experience is what?
No, it's a good question. I think that the one thing that, you have to have vision and really good leadership. And so management is key. But I think over the decades, I think people always talk about culture, but they don't really understand what that means. And I think, making sure that you have a definable culture is something that people feel. And that's what I think right now. For any NFL team, I mean, if I look at the New England Patriots, I've never met Bill Belichick, but I'll tell you what, when you go to the New England Patriots, there is a standard, there is an expectation, and you're either on that bus or you're off of it. And I think I had three head coaches when I played for the Bears, Jack Bardee, who I really liked, and he left us after the first year that we went back to the playoffs since the Bears had won in 1963. And then we had Neil Armstrong, who was a really class individual, but just really wasn't a disciplinarian enough. And then we had Mike Ditka. And Mike Ditka, really said, hey, this is the way. You're either on this bus, these are the goals. They're pretty simple, but they're hard to get to achieve, or you're not. And we got rid of some people who were better players, but they weren't better team players for what, the goal was. So I think that culture is really, really important, but you have to have vision and you have to have discipline and you all have to be going in the same direction. It's easy to say, it's really hard to execute and achieve. And I think there has to be transparency in that too, that you don't start believing, your own BS sometimes.
Gary, thank you for the candor and the insight and the informed opinion and for answering our calls. We really enjoy talking to you, and the audience loves it as well. So thank you very much.
Great. All right. Go Bears.
Thanks, Gary. We'll find a role that you'll take up in that front office. We'll figure it out. We're going to tweak that perfectly, get Gary Fensick involved.
I think we can find one for him.
Don't you think so? I think so.
Love talking to him. Yep. Very bright, very informed, cares a great deal, as you could tell, and, believes, as many of us do and have said for a long, long time, that it starts at the top and that there needs to be a real reckoning of repeating history and just doing it the same way over and over and over and over again, right? There was a reason why last year when they brought back Pace and Nagy and it was met with such scorn that it was like, well, hold on a second. Like, it wasn't only the performances of Pace and Nagy that had people upset. It was just a frustration and a lack of flexibility or too much rigidity for, like, changing it up. Trying to emulate more successful organizations by changing your organizational flowchart. So
yeah, and he makes a great point about how different things are now in terms of the number of people. And I'd be interested to know how populated the Bears front office staff is, right? Because we found that a lot of times, familial organizations that kind of get set in their ways and just have a few people and become insulated, then they can sort of miss out on what is a useful trend and having enough people. They definitely need more football input there at the top. And I think they're going to get it. I think this is the year that they do something like what we're talking about. I really do. I think it's been too long, and I they have to know it's time. George has to know it's time to restructure the way that they do things.
Well, I just, the thing that you pitched earlier in the show is just sitting worse and worse with me as I think about it longer and longer. Like, it would feel very cosmetic. So, like, I want to talk about that again in the context of what Gary Fensick just told us. Top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Wildcats host DePaul, Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Matt Nagy also gave an update on where Tevin Jenkins will play when he plays. That'll be in our Bears report with Mark Grody in an hour from now. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it.
Yeah. It's been weird, okay? It's just been weird around here. I've been broadcasting largely in the dark today.
Yes, you have. I was going to say something. Is that what that was about? That's awesome if that's what that was about.
Yes. Yeah, the people on Twitch were asking me to turn on a light and other things. I haven't even been on the Twitch chat today, but Shane let me know, and I can take people behind the curtain if they care. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Indiana, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com.
People do care about getting behind the curtain.
Yeah, so pull ahead. That curtain back as long as there's light.
Especially if there's light. Yeah.
Well, so I have a ring light at my space that I normally broadcast from. But where I normally broadcast from is with an internet source that the station gave me to power this piece of machinery to broadcast from home.
Pointing fingers already, Speaks, not pointing thumbs.
Shane, this curtain, he should just close this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
This curtain, I thought it was a different curtain.
Pull the curtain back where you're at fault, Danny.
Got it. I could do a better job. I could have done a better, but this makeshift area that I need to broadcast from my home internet source is just different, and I haven't transported the ring light because I'm lazy.
Okay, hold on one second, Danny.
Yeah.
As someone who's been in that room and set up the majority of it for you,
yeah,
I know that where your ring light is about 7 feet away from where you're sitting right now.
That's about right.
So how lazy can one person be? Don't try to pass this off on these innocent listeners who have never been in that room.
Oh, it is absolutely a tale of laziness, but have you seen how I'm dressed today? Like, I'm wearing a winter hat and pajama pants. Like, this is casual Wednesday for your boy. But in the next break, I will go and unplug the ring light and walk it 7 feet over here and replug it in, and we'll be back up and running.
I feel like you've missed
it.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I feel like you've missed a lot of things that you probably have thoughts on.
Oh, and so many things.
I know, right? So
where do you want me to start?
Let's see. Where should we go?
Feel free. Fire, Mammy. What do you want?
Real quick, you said you're not on Twitch today. G11313 asks if you want Tanny and I to come get the ring light for you.
That'd be great.
That's an excellent question.
Very, very helpful. Text Tanny on his day off and let him come in and let him know that I need that for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
How satisfying was the Bears win? How satisfying was that Bears win on Thanksgiving Day? It was a pretty big win, right?
I don't know that I've ever moved on from a Bears game faster. But that game was an appetizer. Like, that game was a crescent roll on a Thanksgiving plate. Like,
crescent roll goes with the meal. It was crackers and cheese sitting out on the table for hours.
Yeah, it was just not something anyone talks about. It was you know what I mean? It was there. It existed. Ironically, I thought that there was an argument to be made that it was one of Matt Nagy's best coached games from a game management standpoint. Like, that challenge that he had.
It was a great challenge.
Didn't see it coming. Didn't see it coming. That was a very savvy challenge by Matt Nagy. Like, having timeouts at the end of the half. Like, it was just a well-coached, clean, terrible football game.
Sure.
And obviously that means nothing, but I just thought it was kind of ironic that in the week of turmoil, when it is a fait accompli that he is done, that he had arguably a top three or five game management game of his tenure here.
Okay, it also helps to have a good game management game when Dan Campbell is your opponent. I think we've learned that as well. But, so what do you make of Hub's report that George McCaskey was the one? Because you and I talked about what happened during those 2 days a lot back then. I absolutely believed that someone had talked to Matt Nagy, the difference in his demeanor between the Monday and the Wednesday. What do you make of Hub's report and then Nagy's refutation, if that is the word, of his report on Friday morning?
I wanted it to be true because I was thinking, hey, George is a football guy. Like, me and George, we are one in the same. We both want him to start Fields. But I didn't think it was true. No disrespect to Hub. I believe that he vetted his sources correctly, but I'm with Gary Fensick. It doesn't make any sense. Why would, of all of the things, since George McCaskey has been in charge of the Bears, just think about him, whatever one, firing a coach, starting a quarterback, benching a player, disciplining a player, executing a trade, we never have heard that George McCaskey has been involved in a week-to-week football decision. He doesn't do it. And then this is the time that he did it. Like, it struck me as so out of character that it was hard to believe. But because I agreed with the move to play Fields, I wanted it to be true.
Okay. All right. So we've got that. Saturday, rivalry day in college football. Jim Harbaugh in Michigan getting over the hump. Your thoughts?
I thought that it would be hilarious if Jim Harbaugh, whose knock the entire time that he was at Michigan was, can't win the big game, can't beat Ohio State, can't win the bowl game, has to take a pay cut, beats Ohio State, is now at his most popular that he's been with Michigan fans, who I've long said are the most delusional fan base in all of college sports, and that's a tough one to crack, then coming out and saying, you know what, screw you guys, I'm taking the Bears job. Like, as his popularity came back up to its height. Like, it was a very entertaining football game. I thought that it was impressive. It was a good win. He comes across as a very likable guy. And I think that it is in his character to have all of that slight and all of that stuff happen to him.
Okay.
And then flip it around and leave. Do you think that that's on the table?
I think that, especially if they win. If they somehow squeak through and win a national title, then I think that could absolutely be in play.
I don't think they can win a national title. I do not think they can do that.
Your third Bears-less Sunday out of the last four. Takeaways from NFL Sunday for Danny Parkins. Letting you catch up.
Oof, wow. Okay, well, so my top one is, why are the Patriots not considered the favorites to win the Super Bowl? Because even though Green Bay's resume, and I've said power rankings, I'd have them at number one, when I watch them, and they're beating up on, you know, their winning streak is, it's got Atlanta in there, and it's not the most impressive opponents, right? A depleted Titans team. Dude, this is a weird comp for you. But remember how it's like, you know, Duncan Keith made us appreciate defensive hockey in a way that you could be a casual fan and still get it with those types of guys that are just special. Like, the blocking that the Patriots do with the two and three tight end sets and, like, the pulling guards and running power that you don't see that much in the NFL anymore because so much of it's out of the shotgun, it feels like they are playing one game and 31 teams are playing a different game. And the 31 teams are more right in, like, the direction of the league.
Yeah,
but Bill Belichick is just zigging when everyone else is zagging for opportunity. And I was picturing, like, a Chiefs-Patriots AFC championship game. And how the hell would the Chiefs stop the Patriots for running for 6 yards a carry? And I don't think they could.
No, I don't think they could. And the thing is, Bill has always drafted the guys who are built to fit those blocking schemes and are good at it. They've got a factory of scouting and development that puts these things together. and they've signed a ton of free agents over the offseason. They've built it, and it also happens to be the best way to protect and enable a young quarterback.
And normally I would say their quarterback is too limited to win a Super Bowl this year. But this isn't an AFC where you have to go through, like, Philip Rivers' Chargers, Brady's Patriots, and Peyton Manning's Colts in order to make it to the Super Bowl. The AFC is full of flawed teams. So I don't really see anyone getting out to a 17-0 lead on the Patriots and Mac Jones needing to pass his way into a comeback. Like, the Patriots are too well coached and their defense is too good. So the Patriots are blowing me away recently. I think that them, the Packers, the Chiefs, those are the top three teams in the NFL.
We got to look at the Cardinals this coming Sunday, hopefully, in terms of getting a look with Kyler and DeAndre there. All right, the one big one that's left is the coaching contracts, and we should talk about that. And I want to play a game with you, too. Can we play a game?
Yeah, no, we'll play the game, and it's real or fake in the coaching contracts. And, man, I love these stories so much. I almost called in to my own radio show yesterday to talk about Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, and LSU. I almost was a caller, Danny from the North Side.
I had so much fun doing that and just making sure that I got in the story about Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur having to come to his house with a party invitation, but then ending up being the guys who had to shovel snow and park cars.
But you saw that Robert Saleh said, story taken completely out of context, he tried to work for Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, loves him, and Matt LaFleur did end up going back and working for Brian Kelly again. So that story was, and by the way, that does not mean that Brian Kelly, not a terrible person, but just and a complete jack. We got plenty of evidence to suggest that he is, but both of those coaches have come out and been like, yeah, that wasn't a big deal, for whatever that's worth. But we will play that game next on The Score. Lincoln Riley to USC, Brian Kelly to LSU. I loved the hubbub and, like, the much to do about, they're huge stories, but, like, the fake outrage speaks over the decisions just tickled me to no end. You're Lincoln Riley. You have put Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield into the NFL as first-round picks. But you haven't won it.
Add Jalen Hurts into that as a second-rounder doing what he's doing.
And you haven't won it, but you haven't won a national title. And Oklahoma's going to the SEC. And you live in Norman, Oklahoma. And Southern California calls and says, hey, we'll give you $100 million guaranteed in the Pac-12. Norman, Oklahoma, where you can't win a title and they're going to the SEC, or Pac-12, Southern California, $100 million guaranteed. Every human being in the world is choosing Southern California. Not surprising.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly, South Bend, Indiana. It's okay. I've had a lot of great times there at those football games. If anything has been proven in college football in the last decade and a half, you can only win at a non-warm weather program if you're at Ohio State. It's the only one.
Well, hey. I don't know. He's gotten to the national championship game, and he's gotten to the playoff a couple other times.
Hasn't won.
No, but he's gotten there, and he could keep having that run. I mean, that one... That one was a bit surprising, but it spoke to, obviously, the diminishing brand and the diminishing power of independence for Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, LSU is a better job than Notre Dame. You can get better players. The academic restrictions are not what they are at Notre Dame. The weather is better. It's a better job.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure whose outrage you're reacting to.
I mean, every Notre Dame report was one of, I read the 24-hour history, you know, of it in the Athletic, and it was source after source after source of shocked, surprised, can't believe it, blindsided. Like, okay. Yeah. Notre Dame is an awesome job. Right. There are, like, eight that are better. LSU's one of the eight.
I hear you. Don't you think some of the outrage is, at least, and I wasn't outraged, but I was certainly kind of disgusted by some of it, and less so, less than I used to be. But the whole system is set up for such unseemly charlatan fakery, right? It's like you got to say team and we're all together and this is what we do. And then the timing of when these jobs become available is right at the end of your regular season and you abandon them for the bowl game.
Other than retiring from your current profession, could you see yourself leaving Notre Dame of your own volition?
No, no. I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? You know, unless that fairy godmother comes by with that $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
Yeah, I mean, like,
they're liars.
Thing.
They're snake oil salesmen, of course.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, and this is not new information.
No, it's not. But every time you see it play out, you're like, really? They really ought to change this, you know?
But Danny, I know what you're saying, but is it right to allow them just to be liars? Like, call them out on their lying.
Okay, sure. Anyone can do that, Herb. I feel you. But this happens basically any job. You know what I mean? Like, where if you are recruited and you are a high-level performer and you leave one company and go to another company, there is animosity there. Like, there's
but it's a difference because we're not, like, Shane and I, and you are not, having unpaid labor underneath us for our jobs. So for them to abandon children, for the most part, which they told, hey, we're going to be here forever. Team, as Matt Spiegel says, we're a team, guys. Don't go in that transfer portal. Oh, just disgusting. Come
Listen,
on, guys.
Man, that's the game, though. And, like, I hear what you're saying. Like, but now that the transfer portal exists, like, I was with this on coaches could leave free of penalty and players had to sit out a year if they wanted to leave. Like, that was one of the grossest inequities in college sports.
Right.
But,
that's been leveled off quite a bit by the transfer portal.
It sucks. And if you want to come up, if someone can come up with a cleaner way for these coaches to leave their jobs, I'm all for it. But I believe that most coaches would leave Notre Dame for LSU, and I believe that most coaches would leave Norman, Oklahoma for Southern California. So, on just a human level, you ultimately, like, yes, you want to believe that you're answering to those kids in that team in loyalty, but you ultimately are answering to your family, to your wife and kids. And on a human level, I understood it. But you wanted to play a game, Speaks.
Yeah, man. All right, so let's play, because I think we've all been entertained by some of these perks.
Okay.
That are in the coaches' contracts, like Lincoln Riley. Supposedly USC bought both of his houses for $500,000 over asking price. I don't know if we ever got that one confirmed or not, but it was certainly entertaining. Mm-hmm. All right, so what I have here, I have three real and three fake perks from college football coaches' contracts.
All right, I'm going to be good at this.
Okay. All right, here we go. One. Longevity bonus, an extra $500,000 every year on the 1st of July if you are still in place with the job. $500,000, 1st of July every year if you are still there.
That's real.
That's real. That's Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly has a longevity bonus every year on July 1st. Here's $500,000. Thanks for not leaving.
Just stay here and don't retire.
Just stand right there.
Yeah. Oh, you were 4-8 last year?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Here's your $500,000.
Okay.
Okay.
Like it.
All right. Here's another one. Full family VIP admission for the San Diego Zoo, including an annual private guided tour from the head zookeeper.
That is so weird that I believe it. Like, that obviously should be fake, but it's so specific that I don't believe that you could have made it up. So I'm going to say it's real.
Yeah, no, that's false. That's false. I had fun writing that one.
All right, good. All right. Wow. Okay, so you went deep. All right.
Yeah,
my bad.
I did. A $10,000 dining gift certificate to the number one steakhouse restaurant group in Oklahoma City.
That's got to be fake.
That is fake. That is
okay.
Fake.
All right. That's got to be fake. All right.
Okay. A $750 gift card
fake
to McBride's Gun Shop in fake. Austin, Texas.
Fake. Stop.
That's totally true. It was in Mac Brown's contract at Texas. Back when he signed it, there was a $750 gift card to McBride's Gun Shop that he got as a perk. I don't know why. I doubt he asked for it, but they gave it to him.
I know. What did he sign, like a $3 million a year contract or something at the time? But here's $750 to the gun store because it's Texas.
Exactly
what a,
right.
What a weird state.
I know.
Even in Austin, which I love. But okay. All right, that's weird.
All right. Here's one. A coach had it written into the contract under general responsibilities.
Salute.
That Kroger would be the family's supermarket of choice.
Fake?
That's true. That's an Urban Meyer's contract at Ohio State. I have no idea why. I don't know.
As a Mariano's guy, I get it. It's a superior grocery store chain. I 100% understand that.
But why do you need that officially in the contract? I don't really understand.
Did you see that Brian Kelly got a $1.2 million interest-free loan to put a down payment down on his house?
Yeah.
Like for like up to 20% of the down payment? So if $1.2 million is 20% of the down payment on his home, that means he can buy like a $6.5 million home in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yes,
with an interest-free down payment. Lincoln Riley got unlimited hours of a private jet for his
family. Unlimited. Yeah, and Brian Kelly only got 50 hours of a private jet.
So that means Lincoln Riley got a private plane.
Yes, he basically got a private plane.
He got a private plane.
Here's the last one. A bonus of $50,000 for each player named as an academic All-American.
That's real.
No, that's false. They don't care about that.
Okay.
Come on, Danny. Come on, Danny.
50 was high.
50 grand for each academic All-American. They didn't even entertain the thought. You know? What do we care?
Right. You're right. It was in like the 13th paragraph of the LSU press release on Brian Kelly. And be like, oh, and by the way, he coached at a smart school.
Yeah, that's right.
He's down here in Louisiana.
All right. I think you did very poorly. I think I designed the game well. I think you went like 2 for 6 or something like that.
I did very, very, very poorly. But, man, what a gig.
I know.
What a gig if you could get it.
It's crazy. I mean, and a lot of the conversation has been, are NFL coaches going to consider going to college if this is what the gig is? No, because it's a completely different kind of job. You have to really want to do that kind of job.
Yeah, well, and just like the recruiting, it's more year round. It's more travel away from your family outside of football season. And we don't know what NFL coaches make because it's not reported. But evidently, Bill Belichick's already making over $20 million a year. And going to go up to $25 million, and like so, they'll just get more and more and more and more money to not have to recruit because they're running it for an NFL team. So that won't happen. Mark Grody in 25 minutes. More from Rick Hahn. Also had another thought on the best team in town right now, the Bulls. From when I was gone, we'll still get to a lot to do in the 5 o'clock hour. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.